right. Good evening. Hello, world. My name is Don, and you're watching Showcase for the week ending today, Sunday, April 24th, 2022. Stop the presses. This is our Sunday show, and that, of course, means weird headlines and your live chat comments. So I'm flying solo at first tonight, but that's okay. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live, drop us a line in the live chat, and I might read it off on the air. So let's go ahead and get rolling into things. First item on the agenda tonight is something from CNN, it looks like. Five black bears were hibernating under a home for months. The home's occupant had no idea. Oh, please have a YouTube clip. Please have a YouTube clip. Please have a YouTube clip. Let's see here. Oh, doesn't look like there's a YouTube clip attached to this. Oh, well. Well, thanks for the map, at least. Yep, use two fingers to move the map. Yeah, no, we don't have that kind of technology here. Here we go. For months, the renter who chooses to remain anonymous, okay, had heard heard occasional noises like that of purring beneath the floorboards. They asked neighbors if they were hearing the same noise, but everything was quiet on their end. Finally, last week, more rumblings prompted them to believe those noises could have been a bear. That's when they called the Bear League, bears in all capitals, B-E-A-R, I've never heard of that before, a nonprofit group that works to keep bears in the area safe, to check out the house. I wonder what that stands for. That looks like it's an acronym. What they discovered underneath were five black bears, a mama and four cubs. Aw. Executive director of Bear League, Ann Bryant, told CNN Thursday the bears had likely been hibernating under the house since the beginning of December. Wow. Let's see. Here's a quote. Bears don't hibernate deeply. They go into a lighter state of torpor. I've never seen that word before. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. let's see. When Bear League was called to the home on Monday, the mama bear was behind an opening beneath the house. She was already on her way out, but stopped to sit on the opposite side of the yard. This led officials to believe she could have had cubs still under the house and was waiting for them to safely exit. Wow. So that's crazy. That's not really so much weird as just crazy and random, honestly, but it's an interesting place from which to start, especially if you're into weird animal news. This is, let's see, this was from CNN, earlier today. Holy crap. Wow. All right. Well, there you go. There's our first topic for today. What's the weirdest animal encounter you've ever had in your real life? Shoot us a comment down below and I might read it off or in the live chat. And don't forget, as always, all of our weird news items for today, as we go through them, all the topics are listed in the description down below because we are very careful to cite our sources as best as we can. You're welcome. Next item on the agenda is from ladbible.com, ladbible.com. Man found with 2 pounds of gold up his bum after acting suspiciously at airport. Okay, that's bizarre. Let's take a closer look at this. Let's see. The passenger had arrived on an Air Arabia flight to the city of Jaipur. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, J-A-I-P-U-R, on Friday, April 23rd, and was looking suspicious from his manners, reports the Daily Star. The airport officials said that a personal search was carried out, and officials claimed that 3 transparent polyethylene capsules wrapped in white plastic were concealed inside the man's bum. Basically, inside the actual capsules were small metal granules that were made up of almost pure gold. The 791-gram gold of 99.5% purity, valued at 42, okay, it looks like this is missing some figures, 42,79,310, and then the unit is capital R, lowercase s, I'm not sure what that stands for, but anyway, about 43,000 pounds is the currency conversion there, was extracted and was seized, the official said. These types of incidents happen on a regular occurrence as some 1,632 people, including 324 foreigners, been arrested in these cases between the beginning of January 2011 and the beginning of this year. Wow. So over 1,600 people have been smuggling valuables up there in the last 11 years alone. Where is all this going? Like, how do you even... I can't even... That's the world's most uncomfortable suppository, second most uncomfortable suppository. wow, this is kind of throwing me for a loop right there. Let me see. Just last year, 2 men were caught smuggling gold and cash worth more than $382,000 into an airport in India, having popped the goods under their wigs to conceal them. Okay, well, that's a little bit less uncomfortable on paper. The suspects were stopped at the airport's exit after their unusual hairstyles raised suspicions. I bet they were. I bet they were. Okay, so that's pretty much it for that topic. Let's move on to the next item. Just going to roll right along here. Third item on the docket. This is something about dog leasing. This is from Magnolia Banner News. Company settles dog leasing allegations for more than $900,000. Okay, let's take a closer look at this one. Hopefully at some point tonight we'll see something with an actual video attached to it. Let's see. Okay, a California-based finance company has agreed to pay more than $900,000 to settle allegations that it was illegally leasing dogs in Massachusetts, the state attorney general's office said. As part of the agreement entered in Suffolk Superior Court on Wednesday, Monterey Financial Services LLC will stop collecting on active leases, cancel about $700,000 in outstanding consumer debt on 211 dog leases, about $3,300 owed per lease, and transfer full ownership of the dogs to Massachusetts residents, authorities said. Okay. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Like, under what circumstances would somebody be compelled to basically rent a dog? Like, this is not really the sort of thing that it would even occur to me as something to do. Number one, you know, like, you either adopt a dog or you don't. You know, you either have puppies, you know, from like the dog you already have giving birth, or you don't. Like, why? What are you just like? I don't know. Did you lose a bet, or are you covering up from a lie or something? Like, yeah, I have this. I have a Shih Tzu, let's say, or some other like breed of dog, you know, retriever, dachshund, whatever. And there's just no other way to get this animal quickly enough to appease whoever you're trying to impress or cover up your reputation with. So call Rent-A-Hound, and that's going to be all that you need to do there. I don't know. This is definitely on the bizarre side here. The company will also provide $175,000 in restitution to consumers and pay $50,000 to the state. Leasing dogs is illegal in Massachusetts and can often be an expensive way to own a pet because of high finance charges. Yeah. Also, come on. There's got to be a moral implication here on some level. I mean, goodness, you've got a living thing with you, you know, especially depending on the age of the dog, it's going to like grow attached to you, you know, and depending on the length of the term. And it's like, what is changing hands like that do to the psyche of this dog, who's clearly at this point incapable of forming a real lasting and positive connection with anybody? That's just sad. Authorities had alleged that the Oceanside, California firm violated Massachusetts consumer protection laws by purchasing and collecting on leases for dogs and engaged in illegal practices to collect outstanding balances on those leases. Wow. Let's just skip ahead down to one last thing here. Leasing a dog is much like leasing a car, the Attorney General's office said. The consumer must make monthly payments for the duration of the lease, plus an additional payment at the end of the lease to ultimately own the dog. Missed payments can result in the dog being repossessed. Wow. Okay, so that's another question that I have. What kind of individual would take the job of basically being a repo man for an animal? Like, that's, I don't know. Here's a YouTube comment here. Maybe some creepy guy pretending to be a dog lover to attract girls out walking their dogs. Oh, that's one thing. That's one idea for basically like what would justify it in someone's mind going through this, just to basically own a dog for show and temporarily. But then you've met somebody based on a lie, and it's like that whole thing, you need to get too sidetracked with that. This is just kind of sad and odd all around. Let's move on to the next topic here. We're about 10 minutes into the hour here. Once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to drop a like and the subscription bell notification, and drop us a comment down below if you're not catching this live, or if you are, live chat. And we will try and incorporate that into this particular video. Let's move on to the next topic here. Here we are. This is from UPI. Michigan school's corpse flower blooms for the first time in 7 years. Oh, wow. Okay. All right, let's take a look at this. Ah, here's a YouTube clip attached to it. Let's go ahead and use this instead. Here we are.
It's so unusual. It's so interesting. and it kind of gets more people interested in conserving plants at the same time. Our corpse flower, Amorphophallus titanum, it started blooming Sunday afternoon, so we're kind of on day three now, so she's looking a little sad, but people can still come and view it and see the flower and kind of smell it. So it smells so bad to attract certain pollinators. So flies and beetles are the main ones it's trying to get. So if it's
what, zombie like flies, flesh, zombie beetles? It smells like rotting flesh. What's the appeal?
We had a long night last night. We stayed open until 9 p.m. so people could see it. We had over 1,800 people come through. So for a greenhouse that's not generally open to the public, that was overwhelming. It's only found in Sumatra and Indonesia. It's very rare in the wild. There's less than 1,000. So one reason that we're trying to show this off is so that people know what it is and try to conserve it for the future.
Okay, I'm sure that this particular plant serves a vital function in like the larger ecosystem, you know, I'm sure. Yeah, we had but a long night I can't get over like okay.
PM so people could
here we are.
See it.
I'm just going to go ahead and screen grab this right here. Just taking a closer look at this particular image here. If we weren't on the tail end of a global pandemic, I would completely understand if the 1,800 people, you know, were still going to show up with a mask anyway. You know, presumably, I don't know, like one of those like Pine Fresh air filters that used to like hang out underneath your rearview mirror in your car, something to sort of like cut the smell of rotting flesh that this plant naturally gives off. Why would you treat this like a tourist attraction? And then why would 1,800 people be so interested in this so as to like actually go and see it in person, take pictures, that sort of thing. Like this blows my mind right there, to be brutally honest. What do y'all think? Like, hey, drop us a comment down below if this is on your top five of like strangest plants that you've ever heard of. Apparently that's real. And once again, just like with all of our news topics tonight, the information, the direct links and all our sources are in the description down below. So like alt click, open a new tab. Thanks for not navigating away yet. Let's move on to the next item. This is again from UPI. Ball python found chilling on a shelf at Indiana Walmart store. Ugh, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Let's take a look. All right, here we are. Animal control officer. Oh, here we are. City of Bloomington Animal Care and Control said in a Facebook post that personnel responded to the Walmart store in Bloomington when a young python was spotted on a shelf. The post said, quote, "This young python was found at our local Walmart chilling on a shelf. It's unclear how he got there, but it was a good thing a Good Samaritan saw him and notified county officers to come pick him up," end quote. A follow-up post said the snake, dubbed Wolverine, has been adopted into a new home. The snake's origins are still under investigation. Who thought of the idea to name this animal Wolverine? It's a snake. This name has no correlation to, like, I'm not into, like, comics history. I don't know if there's, like, some sort of a correlation between snakes and Logan, you know, Wolverine, to justify that name necessarily, but that just strikes me as weird. I don't know. Hey, we have an extra guest in the room. Raina, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, good to see you. Like, careful, your phone orientation is a little off.
It's doing the thing again?
Yeah, it's doing the thing again.
Hold on. How about now?
There it is. That's much better. Hey, good to see you. We can see you clearly now.
Nice.
What is up? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm happy. It's really getting nice out. It's spring in California right now. So it's feeling like spring summer.
So is it more springmer or summing?
Ooh, it's like right in the middle. Like it's been like hot. We haven't gotten too much rain. It's just nice out today. Like right now I'm by the beach. So.
Okay. Like, cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining and taking a little time aside from your little beach visitation to check out some weird news headlines. I was just in the process of talking about a random python was found on a shelf in a Walmart in Indiana. Hey, how are you with snakes?
A python was found on what?
So animal control officers in Bloomington, Indiana, responded to a Walmart store to collect a ball python that was spotted chilling on a shelf. So there you go.
A real one?
Presumably a real one, yeah.
In a Walmart?
In a Walmart.
Man, I'm great with snakes that are kept or like well trained or something. I don't even know how you train a snake, but I guess people do somehow. I don't know, snake charmers. But I a wild snake? No. No, no, no. Those are wildly unpredictable. And you never know what can happen. So I would not be great. I would probably scream really hard, if not faint right there. Because, and I'm not even scared of snakes, but like, that's what I said. Like, if there's somewhere where someone's like, oh, do you want to hold a snake? And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll hold a snake. But.
Oh, sure. Just impersonate Britney Spears at the VMAs.
Yes, exactly. I'm okay with that type of action. But wild snakes, no. Like, when I've gone hiking, the most I've done is like seeing baby snakes, and it's like always scary because they always like shoot across your feet.
Ooh. Yeah. And which, what you just said right there also kind of brings up a question that I actually hadn't occurred to me, like whether this is, whether this snake was, as you put it, kept domesticated, or was it a wild animal that just found its way into a store? Like, we don't know what the adjacent stores were near that Walmart.
Where was it at? What city?
Sorry.
I mean, what state?
Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, I would believe it's a wild snake.
Well, there could have been like a pet store next door.
Huh?
There could have been a pet store next door and like, you know, something like.
Maybe. That's so crazy.
That's what I'm saying. But anyway, yeah, randomness. We have a YouTube comment. Snakes! No! All capital letters.
I'm not that scared of snakes.
Okay. Hey, we have another guest. Kiara, good to see you again.
Hello.
Hey, Kiara.
What's up, mine?
How are you?
I like that. Mine?
Huh?
I like that look on you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm out and about. Usually when I record, I'm at home or something, but I've got my beach life look going on.
I like it. We outside. It's nice.
Definitely showing up camera ready. So all right,
I know. Let's, right, for once
there. Not for once, like what was it, Friday, I think was the last one where it was either Friday
I wasn't on Friday.
That's right, it was like either the previous Friday or the previous Sunday where like you had to do like this
and I was getting ready to go then too.
Yeah.
I've been on the go.
Anyway, we gotta move on. We're burning time. By the way, since we have three people in here, I can reintroduce this little hourglass here that I sort of brought up a few streams ago to sort of like help keep track of time, so we can just go and go and go until the sand runs out, so we can make sure that we are managing how much time we spend reacting to a topic or discussing. So there we go. Thank both of you for appearing today. And thank you, those of you at home who are tuned in, watching along. Don't forget all of our sources are in the description down below, and shoot us a chat and we might incorporate your reaction into our discussion. Let's move on to the next topic here. This is again from UPI. Feline social media star with unusual eyes to serve as mayor of hell.
Okay.
Mayor of what?
Apparently there's a city in Michigan called Hell. Literally Hell is the name of this location. Yeah. All right. Let me just go ahead and put this on right here. All right, so a cat who became famous on social media for her unusually large eyes and feet is set to become the first non-human to serve a day as mayor of Hell, Michigan. The town of Hell, which offers anyone the chance to serve as mayor for one day for $100, agreed to allow Jinx the cat to become the town's first animal mayor. Okay, where did the cat find $100? That's my first question.
What kind of small town? I cannot. This... A cat is a mayor of a town called Hell.
Apparently. Yeah.
The owner. The owner's responsible.
I mean, clearly, but I mean, just on
like,
just,
why?
Exactly.
I'm more curious about like the owner. Like, who? I would have never thought. That's why I'm like, this has to be some type of small town. I would have never thought to sign my cat up to be mayor. My cat.
This reminds me of a movie called Gus. I think Disney Plus still has it. It's this old Disney movie about this football team that hired that brought in a mule to be their star kicker, and it actually worked because like there was nothing in the rules that specifically said a mule can't play football. So like, that's how they were able to sort of get away with it. Just like there's presumably in this town, there's nothing on the rules that specifically says a cat can't participate in the Mayor for a Day program. Just have the owner foot the bill for the $100.
That's the wildest.
Also, is that some form of corruption? Because you can't have like a city official, you know, you can't purchase a city official seat like that, right? I don't know. We can't go too far into politics, but that would just strike me as, I don't know. What do y'all think of this?
I don't know what I think. I'm like, this has to be a small town with not much to do.
The Midwest.
Say again, Kira?
This sounds like a typical Midwest thing. The Midwest.
A typical Midwest thing.
They're weird, man. They're on a, it's weird. It's not that far from Michigan. Yeah.
Jinx, who lives in California with owner Mia, has 735,000 followers on TikTok and 400,000 on Instagram. Okay, that's another issue. Like, isn't that one of those public offices that like whoever participates like has to be like a resident? Like, here's a cat visiting from out of state that gets to be mayor of the town they're visiting for a day. There's like all these levels. Go ahead.
I cannot believe this. Like, this sounds insane.
Let's see. Mia told MLive.com, Mia, the owner, said, quote, I made a joke on Twitter saying, imagine Jinx will run for president. Oh, no. I had also seen animal mayors before, and I sent a tweet out asking how to make Jinx mayor, and someone mentioned Michigan and that you could pay to be mayor of hell for a day, end quote. Wow. Let's start. Your face.
Well, I want to know, I've never heard of animal mayors, so now that's something that I need to apparently educate myself on, because what was
Jinx's platform? Free kitty litter for everyone and like a scratching post for every man, woman, and kitten in hell? I don't know what.
That is insane.
I don't know. That's bizarre. Kira, last thoughts before we move on?
I don't know, man. Y'all Midwesterners are weird. That's it.
All right, fair enough.
Midwesterner.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's move on. Next topic. Got through that a little quickly. Let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here once this page loads up. Here we are. I'm not sure how many more we have to go, but we should have a good few more. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour right now, 6:25 p.m. on the East Coast. Here we are. Here's the next thing. This is from National Public Radio. Taylor Swift was the inspiration for the name of a new millipede species. I actually saw a social media post about this a few days ago. Does this sound familiar?
I don't pay attention to Taylor Swift, so.
No,
not to me either. I don't.
Okay, well, we're about to find out about this. This was posted 4 days ago on National Public Radio. Let's see. Derek Hennen, an entomologist who completed his PhD at Virginia Tech in 2020, discovered a millipede species and named it in Swift's honor, according to a paper published Friday in the journal Zoo Keys. The species is called Nanaria swiftae. Swifty? Swifte. Swifti.
Swifty. it's Swifty.
Hang on a second.
I know they call, I think, like,
they call themselves the Swifties. It's a
toxic. Oh, I get it. Yeah, it's a play on the fan base. Okay.
You got a PhD in your Swift.
Yeah.
I got it. Hey, you know what? Music tastes, you know, that people like who they like, I guess. So there you go. The species is called Nanaria swifti, or vernacularly, the swift twisted claw millipede. That sounds really gnarly after you get past her last name there. The discovery of the species was part of a paper by Hennen, along with co-authors Jackson Means and Paul Merrick, that identified 17 new species of twisted claw millipedes from Appalachia. Researchers determined the arthropod named for Swift was a unique species because of the millipede's genetics and special legs. Okay, first thoughts. Kiara, you wanted to get this first?
I don't know. That's just a fandom being a fandom. I'm sorry to that caterpillar. Sorry to that.
Raina, what about you? Like, would you?
Millipede. I'm sorry to the millipede.
There you go.
Pandemonium. Mm-hmm. It's just like why. I don't know. And then
mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have anything against Taylor Swift. She's just Taylor Swift. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there when it comes to Taylor Swift. However, mm-hmm. her fans are a bunch of tweeny boppers, most of them. So it sounds about right for a tweeny bopper. And
but this is a doctorate level, like Virginia Tech guy.
I don't respect you with the doctorate, man. I'm a little questionable about that. Doctor.
Interesting. that's all I know about Taylor Swift. I'm like, I know a bunch of like tweeny bopper, pandemonium girls. And mm-hmm. yeah, so I don't know.
Okay, so tell me something.
Like, and that's like, is that something that's like registered?
Yeah, this is the official genus, I guess. The name of the species, I guess. It's a newly discovered species.
Oh, I don't know.
So how about this? What are you guys fans of that if you had the opportunity to name a species, what would you have named something like this after? Or like, would you name it after yourselves instead?
I don't know, because you a bug. I'm going to respect you and, you know, think outside the box. I don't know if I want to name you after Taylor Swift.
But that's why I'm asking the question this way. Like,
I'm not dedicated that much in a fandom to name a bug after the fandom. I don't think I am.
Okay. Raina, what about you?
I guess it's like the equivalent to naming a pet after something that you really like. Mm. I just got a new kitten. And we named it Darwin because we like the show Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh.
It's literally my kids and I. Like, it's our favorite.
I love that.
That show is freaking hilarious.
It is.
It's hilarious. It's a cartoon. I'm not a big cartoon watcher, but Amazing World of Gumball, it has like just the right amount of like adult innuendos and stuff that like goes over kids' heads. So the kids can enjoy it because it's like crazy, wacky, goofy, and I enjoy it because I give the adult innuendos, and it's like extremely psychedelic. I love that show.
Yes.
But we named our cat Darwin, right? And we have an orange cat, and we named it Darwin after an orange goldfish.
I would have said Garfield.
One of the siblings, huh?
I said I would have said Garfield, but all right, yeah, go ahead.
No, we named it Darwin after an orange goldfish that plays a brother on Amazing World of Gumball. So yeah.
I would have said
that, I guess the equivalent to naming it.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm in y'all's camp. I wouldn't have named
What is it? A millipede, you said?
Yes, millipede.
You could have named them after Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, that would have worked. Stranger that Things call out.
Bobby Brown.
There you go. That's actually brilliant. But that's not what happened here, unfortunately. Hey, maybe if you get the chance to discover a species, you can name a species of millipede after her then.
Maybe.
I don't know. Down the line, it's said that the swift twisted claw millipede should be pretty well protected because it's in a state park, protected grounds, Department of the Interior and all that. Yeah. The millipede was also found in a few other Tennessee counties. So there you go. Oh, here we go. The last sentence. The guy also named one of the new species after his wife, Marion, Nanaria Mariani.
Okay.
So there you go. How's that for a romantic gesture, I suppose, huh?
Sure.
You know, different strokes.
For different folks. Doesn't
sound like y'all would receive it that way, necessarily.
I mean, you know, it's a bug, and I'm your wife, so... The contrast.
I mean, if we're very far
margin, you know, very far margin. I don't know. Listen.
All right. Let's move on. Hey, we have a comment. Rocket League support. What's this live about? Thanks for joining. This is basically we're going over weird news headlines from the last week, and we're talking about it live on YouTube and Instagram. We're also on @WeekendShowcase there as well. Or at least I am. It's just an extra camera angle for what you're seeing here. So you're already in the right place, is what I'm saying. Thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to hit that like button and the notification bell on the subscription thing. So let's go ahead and move on. And if you have anything else to add to react to what we're talking about, feel free to drop it in the chat. Next item is from the Mirror. Disney fans desperate for merchandise use fake babies to get around item limit. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. All right. Basically anything Disney this past week has been kind of a hot button issue, but all right, let's take a look at this. Let me go here. This is from the Mirror. Japan's All Nippon? N-I-P-P-O-N. I don't know how to pronounce that. All Nippon News Network reported that crowds of eager shoppers gathered outside the gates to Tokyo Disney Sea more than 5 hours before the park opened. However, in order to enter the souvenir shop, shoppers needed to gain a numbered pass. To add to this, shoppers entering the store were limited to one of each item per person. Despite the restrictions in place, shoppers devised interesting ways of getting their hands on the new merchandise. What witness claims they saw people buy extra dolls and use them as fake babies and strollers so they could double the number of items they could buy, one item for themselves and one for the baby. A clerk discovered that one man who was running a flea market was selling the products for over three times the cost. Okay, so these are fraudulent children of scalpers, basically, it looks like. Kira, what are your what's your reaction to this?
You gotta work smarter, not harder. Beating the system, I like it. You're bugging. Why only get one item? I want to get two or maybe three. I understand.
Really? Is this something you could see yourself doing?
I wouldn't do a fake baby. I'd probably take somebody else's baby. Like, I'm already, you know.
Wow. No. Not like
kidnapping, but like
the opinions expressed herein do not necessarily reflect that of Weekend Showcase.
A cousin.
We do not advocate.
Take, you know.
Babies. No.
Yeah. You know, I get it. Because like in that country, and specifically that area, you know, resale is like top tier. So like, get what you can and resell it three times the value, of course. And it's Disney, you know. So you make a pretty penny. Specifically, in Tokyo, yeah, I get why they did it.
But I mean, come on, this is Disney, especially after this week. Don't they have like more problems on their hands right now than instituting a maximum for purchasing for gift store purchases?
I'm pretty sure they do. They just don't care about the other problems.
Hmm.
It all depends, you know. Somebody gets paid to enforce these rules.
Hmm.
I don't know who, but they get paid a lot of money to just say yes.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, frankly.
I'm not mad at it at all.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. There's not much else here. If you're curious to read more, all the links to everything we've discussed tonight are in the description down below underneath this video on the YouTube page. Let's move on to the next topic here. We're about halfway through this thing, and then we gotta flip the timer. Let me see here. Come on. I don't know when we lost Raina, but hopefully she'll reconnect here. Probably some connection issues down by the beach. here we go. Next item is from the Mirror again. McDonald's lover turned gray when he gave up fast food as he had a rare illness. Ooh, never heard of that before. That sounds like some Morgan Spurlock thing gone horribly, horribly wrong. Did you ever see Super Size Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what this reminds me of here. Let's see. All right, Gregory Cole, age 58, admits that he loved a McDonald's burger and would eat them at every opportunity, but it turned out the high sugar content in the food was very bad for him. One day he suffered a herniated disc and was told by doctors he would have to lose weight, but then he seemed to get sicker as he dieted, and he said his skin changed color. Gregory from New Jersey then went in for tests, and it turned out he suffered from auto brewery syndrome, which means his body was converting the sugar in the food into alcohol. He was getting physiologically drunk off of the burgers he was eating. That's crazy. I've actually heard of this before. Kira, what's your reaction to this?
I've heard of it before. There was a documentary I watched regarding that. But it just shows essentially like the danger of high processed food. And when you eat it so long, your body adapts to it. And then when you decide to quit cold turkey, like you can die from it because your body will adapt to whatever you feed it. So in his case, you chose the worst thing, possibly the worst thing to ingest, and you did it for years. And I'm not saying that McDonald's caused this, but I'm pretty sure it assisted in having this.
This is clearly a contributing factor.
So, I don't know. Be careful what you eat, man. You know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, it's like he would have to keep eating McDonald's, essentially, I guess, to feel okay. You know? Because, like, neurologically, if it gives you that type of high, you're going to want that 24/7. That's what his body craves. That's the crazy part about giving up processed, high processed stuff. Is like, it's bad for you. But then if you quit cold turkey and if you don't do it, then it's kind of like your body will go against you if you don't feed what it's already known. Mm-hmm. Like he can't eat a regular diet. If you're saying that whatever sugar turns into alcohol, that means he would literally have to be like a raw vegan and not eat fruit and barely eat bread.
Yeah, that's going to be one serious detox plan that you have to really stick to. And if your situation physiologically, medically is that bad, yeah.
He is doing that, you know.
Yeah, that's a bit much. What's your favorite fast food, Kira? Now that we're on this.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't eat fast food like that.
No.
Like, my favorite fast food would probably either have to be Zaxby's or... Five Burgers.
I don't think I've ever had anything from either.
I don't eat beef anymore, but if I did, I would, because Five Burgers, they give you extra fries on the bottom. Zaxby's, it's good. And then my hot take, you can crucify me if you want to, it's better than Chick-fil-A any day.
Ooh, them's fighting words. Chick-fil-A people, are you gonna take this?
Sunday. And they're open on Sundays.
Oh no, so, she went there. She went there. Chick-fil-A people, are you gonna take that? You gonna take but that?
Zaxby's is it's top tier, man.
Okay.
And I want to try In-N-Out. I want to try In-N-Out.
We have a comment. Feed the need, and then like shocked emoji, a shock face emoji, thumbs down emoji, burger. That's crazy. Yeah. What do y'all think about this? Hey, Chick-fil-A people, represent down in the comments if you want. Let's move on. Next item on the docket. This is again from the UK publication, The Mirror. Mom spends 537 pounds a week feeding 8-foot giant dogs and has child safety locks on snacks. Wow. Okay. We got a couple of Marmadukes on our hands here, it looks like, judging by the picture. Yeesh. Wow.
Those are humans.
We say those are humans in suits.
Those are humans. Those aren't dogs.
I'm pretty sure they are dogs, though. Pretty sure. They're hilariously large, clearly. A woman with three Great Danes who collectively weigh over 29 stone has shared the reality of living with hungry, monster-sized dogs. Sabrina Giardina, 46, from New York, has been forced to install child safety locks on all cabinets to stop the gigantic pups raiding her snacks. The humongous trio get through 45 kilograms of kibble and dietary supplements each week, which costs Sabrina over 537 pounds weekly, and frequently sneak food from the kitchen counter like overgrown toddlers. 5-year-old Margot and her 3-year-old puppies, Parker and Viola, are social media stars with almost a million followers on TikTok and Instagram. Because naturally, this is what you do when you have unique animals. You give them a social media account.
Right.
Clearly, that's what you do. YouTube comment, people in dog suits, I agree. Well, all right, so at least you're not alone there, Kiara.
Right.
So there you go. I don't know. I'm still in the dogs are there and not just people in dog suits camp personally, but there you go. Sabrina, who is also a mom of two to Savannah, 23, and Mia, 19, says the 8-foot canines are like her babies and she spends a small fortune on them. She said, quote, I compare it to having three toddlers in the house. They even sleep 16 to 18 hours a day like babies. Thankfully, they don't wake me up too early in the mornings. The three of them are extremely human-like. They can even open cabinets and doors, end quote. So there, it's human-like. That's about as close as we're going to get there. We have a comment from YouTube. Jennifer NVA says, that size dog needs to be outside. And then a monocle investigating face emoji. Yeah, I got to agree with you there, Jennifer. That's this is a bit much. This is a little above my pay grade, I got to say. Certainly for 540 pounds a week. Or whatever I don't know the currency conversion offhand for that to American dollars. But that's presumably, I'm hoping this is during inflation. This story was published within the last week. Like, imagine if that was 540 before inflation. And like after you have to like go through like currency conversions, it's oh my God, that's crazy. Jeez. Last words before we move on, Kira?
That's too much money. It's too much.
Hey, facts. Those are facts right there. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on. I think we have a couple more to go here. Thanks so much, those of you at home who are watching along with us right now. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription button, as well as the notification bell, so you can be among the first to find out as soon as we do a next do our next live stream or standalone post. Here's something. This is again from the Mirror. Man banned from teaching kids under six because they find him terrifying. Honestly, that face I find terrifying. Let's see. Oh, we had another comment from the dogs piece. I'm sure they tell her when she better let him go outside. The dogs.
I'm sure they do.
I must go. That's basically that. Hey, it looks like Raina is reconnecting right now. We'll give her a moment. Here we go. And connecting to audio in a moment. There we go. Hey, Raina, can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Is my camera fine?
Yeah, we can see you. We can hear you. It's a little bit over the phone sounding, but we can hear you clearly. So, okay. We were just about to start on this topic here. Man banned from teaching kids under six because they find him terrifying. I'm trying to go ahead and load this picture. Here we go. Here we are. Yep. Whoop. Come on, ads. There we are. Face only a mother could love. There we go. Yeah, take your time reacting to that.
But she's on mute.
You are on mute. yeah, Randy, you have to take off your microphone mute. Still can't hear you. There you are.
So now I'm just chiming back in. My phone overheated. So what's happening here?
She's this person. Yeah, go ahead, Kira. Sorry.
So we got old boy right here. You know what I'm saying? He decided to live his dreams, live his best life, and teach the children, the youths. And then they say, you can't teach the youths looking like that. I don't know who told you you could do it, but it's a no. And here we are.
Pretty much. Sylvain Helene has worked as a teacher for over 10 years, even though he's covered in 52,000 pounds worth of tattoos. Due to his extreme inkings, he's been dubbed the world's most terrifying teacher. And it's no surprise as his entire face, tongue, and even eyes are a different color. It's now been decided that Sylvain, who works in London and France, is too scary to teach young children and has been banned from some classrooms. Despite being proud of his bizarre looks, Sylvain was told he could no longer work with nursery-age kids after a three-year-old suffered a nightmare due to his appearance. Okay. So, Raina, you're a school teacher. Could you see yourself sharing a water cooler space with someone like this?
To be honest with you, this is distracting to the children's education. The thing is, we live in a world where not everybody's as open-minded. People come from different homes and backgrounds, religiously, culturally, all these things, right? And then they're put into a school, 9 out of 10, especially if they go to public school, and they're not in schools where example, like if you live in certain countries, you're gonna go to school predominantly your country's natives. But example, where I live, California, huge melting mixing pot, right? Mm-hmm. And to some children, given their upbringing, their home, their the background, if you may, this is distracting. It's not that he can't teach. It's not saying that his level of expertise, it's not saying like or insulting his level of expertise or anything. It's just that's distracting to some of the kids that come from different backgrounds, family morals, different things. Like, it's just distracting. It's distracting. Just like a child can throw a massive tantrum in a classroom full of kids who aren't throwing tantrum, and that's distracting. And this is just, it's distracting to some of the children's learning process.
Right. Kiara, do you
working on the college campus?
But even then, it still might be. But maybe working with adults is more fit. Working with children, this is distracting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I, you know, excuse me if like my wording wasn't correct, but I'm an arts teacher. I'm a creative theater arts teacher, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not in school to teach math, science, literature, any of those things, but.
Your audio, Raina, your audio is kind of breaking up right now.
This is distracting. It's just distracting. I can't imagine.
Okay.
My fifth graders, and this was their teacher?
Yeah. Yeah. Noted. we have a comment from. We have a comment from YouTube. That guy looks totally sci-fi in the worst way. So yeah. There you go. Kira, do you agree with this? It's just too distracting. Like the story says that he's been approved to teach kids over six.
You know,
not exactly college, but
here's the thing. I think he is probably like a great teacher. That man is probably like a great teacher, a great person. He probably has a really great heart. I think depending on the children, you could still teach kids. I think it's just, it depends on the situation. I think he would be better fit to teach adults, but if his heart is to teach children, you know, my heart is sad for him because, you know, and nobody, only he knows why he did what he did to his body. Body modifications don't define character though. That's the thing, but children don't know that. They're too young to make that a comprehensive thought.
Okay.
I feel like maybe in a setting of teaching children who are maybe have like behavioral challenges or maybe like even juvenile children might be more suited for him because they are on a mindset where seeing somebody like this is not that far from, you know, their perspective of being in a violent, aggressive environment. Not saying that he's a violent, aggressive person, but abstract by looking at him, that is what you're gathering as a thought.
Okay. So it sounds like Kiara not judging a book by its cover and Raina refusing to touch this guy's classroom with a 39 and a half foot pole. Got it. All righty. Let's go ahead and move on to the next. Oh, we have another comment from YouTube. Yeah, he's probably a great teacher, but I hope he understands he scares little kids.
What did it say?
Yeah, he's probably a great teacher, but I hope he understands he scares little kids.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, we already said, so there you go. All right, let's move on here. I'm going to have to reset this timer pretty soon. I wonder how many more we have left here. Probably coming near the end of this. We have a couple left to go here, at least. Let's see. Here we are. YouTube influencer pilot Trevor Jacob crashed his plane on purpose so that he could record it for a video, the FAA finds. Wow. All right. This looks like there's a YouTube video embedded here. Nope, that's an ad. All right, never mind that. So the Federal Aviation Administration has revoked the private pilot certificate of a YouTube influencer pilot after determining he crashed his plane on purpose for a video. In a letter seen by Insider, the agency told YouTuber Trevor Jacob on April 11, quote, "You demonstrated a lack of care, judgment, and responsibility by choosing to jump out of an aircraft solely so you could record the footage of the crash. Your egregious and intentional actions on these dates indicate that you presently lack the degree of care, judgment, and responsibility required of a certificate holder," end quote. Jacob, who has around 133,000 YouTube subscribers, have been under investigation after he was accused of staging a plane crash so that he could make a video about it for views. Here's the video. Do we want to see this?
Sure.
Okay, I have a text message from Raina. It just showed up in my thing here. It says her phone is overheating again. We may lose her shortly. Yep. Hopefully she'll be able to get her phone fixed pretty soon under better temperatures. Here we are. This is a 12 minute video. We can't watch this whole thing, but let me see. Find where it landed. Do we have the...
All right, we just went 3,000 feet.
are here. Is this after he's jumped? I think so. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Whoa. Okay. And there that goes. Okay, so that's what a plane crash looks like on a GoPro mounted to the wing of a small engine plane. In its letter to Jacob, the FAA added, during this flight, you opened the left side pilot door before you claimed the engine had failed. Ooh, that's some fraud there too. Jacob also made no attempt to contact air traffic control in the emergency frequency. It did not attempt restarting the engine and did not look for a place to land, even though there were multiple areas within gliding range in which you could have made a safe landing. Yeah, they broke down all of the ways that this was a deliberate staged thing. Wow. And he on Wednesday, Jacob did not appear to be aware of the FAA's ruling, telling the New York Times in an email, where'd you get that information? He did not immediately respond to insiders' requests for comment. We have a comment from YouTube. We have a couple comments, actually, just came in. Was he trying to be, Jennifer NVA says, that was he trying to be on MTV or AFV? Probably MTV. There's not really much of a laugh track worthy sort of thing that I don't think Alfonso Ribeiro could make that, but so funny. Luckily, there was like no, like, you know, like a crash test dummy or something in the passenger seat, you know, making that traumatizing. Here's another comment. PSK, I guess talking about you, Kier, had a good idea about letting him work with certain types of kids, the scary teacher, that he could actually reach better than normal teachers. Hope he finds his perfect niche.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Thank you for that feedback. Brain spaz. So there you go. And this is, but yeah, back to Jennifer's comment here. Yeah, this is let's just file this under like utterly unnecessary. That was utterly, utterly unnecessary. And that's basically all that needs to be said about that. Let's move on to try to get one, maybe two more topics in before we get to the top of the hour. It's 6:54 right now on the East Coast. Let's go ahead and put this down to sort of count down our last 5 minutes before we get to the top of the hour here. We have another big one coming around. Here we are. This topic, we were going to do it first, but like, I don't know what happened, like with the way that this, that our topics were organized in the system that we have here, keeping track of the topics here. So a little bit of apologies here. We meant to do this one first. YouTube star Mr. Beast paid a man $340,000 to spend 21 days in a windowless room, according to his new video. Yeah, that sounds like something he would do. A man challenged to 100 days in a single room for YouTube star Mr. Beast's video has defended the influencer against accusations it was damaging to his mental health. Josh Rock, whose Instagram and LinkedIn bios say he is the lead video editor for the Mr. Beast YouTube channel, responded to criticism of the challenge, which he says earned him $340,000 for staying in the room for 21 days, saying, "I was never in any danger, physically or mentally." Rock was featured in a video titled $10,000 Every Day You Survive in Prison, which was posted to Mr. Beast's channel on April 9 and has been viewed 38 million times. It showed Rock in a large windowless room that was initially stocked with entertainment items like a guitar, pool table, and hot tub, which he gradually had to discard each day as he earned another $10,000 throughout the challenge, according to the video. Okay. Yeah, there's your textbook Mr. Beast thumbnail usage right there. Kara, what's your take on this?
Clout is mental illness, and I'm sick of these white YouTubers just be doing anything, and it's cute. If he consented to it, he's an adult. You signed up what you signed up for.
I agree. If you can hear me, I agree. I can't have my camera on right now
because yeah, we can hear you, Raina. Welcome back.
Hot for some reason.
You're good.
Yeah,
and it's lagging. But
well, we can hear you. Go ahead.
But like I just okay. YouTubers like Mr. Beast, it just I don't know about this one, Chief. That's just me and my personal opinion because the way that you're marketing it and portraying it with prison and then people are actually in prison are two different things.
Yeah, like making it a stunt. Just making it a...
It's not funny. Whatever. It doesn't matter because you make so much money that, you know, these are children who are watching this and they think it's cute.
They can get paid. Just do anything for clout. Do anything for clout. And then later you can marry Cardi B.
For either of them. I don't have any sympathy for him because he consented to doing this. You wanted to do this, so you did it. I don't think you should label it as prison, because if he wanted to be prison, then go to prison.
Yeah, he had all these amenities. Like a hot tub. Who has a hot tub in prison? And
they exist. So like people who do white collar crimes. People who do white collar crimes, you go to a different prison than somebody who would be robbing jail. And there's many factors into it. But like, for instance, like Bernie Madoff, unless he died, which I don't think he has, but Bernie Madoff, the prison that he's in is as good as it gets for a prison. And it's not necessarily a prison. It's more like a residential luxury apartment complex where he's serving his sentence. So
it's worth noting, I'm sorry, I have to interject here with one thing. Bernie Madoff died April 14, 2021. He's been dead barely over a year.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, but like somebody like Bernie Madoff, like when he went to prison, he was fine in prison. He was chilling in prison. He didn't really go to prison. He just went to a nice
detention.
Little...
It's like a detention facility at best.
They exist. And in other countries, like the prison system and how they treat their prisoners are way different than here in America. But I just say all that because people like him doing stuff like this, you know, I understand you're doing it for clout and clicks and because you have money, but like also you're wilding on how you project it and you market it. Yeah. Because now it's like children or teenagers, whoever, this is the reference you're going to use for people in prison, and that's not true.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to.
Ordinarily, this is the point where we would click on the YouTube video to show it.
I don't care.
Yeah. And it's like $10,000. He was earning this video editor guy was earning $10,000 per day. He could have walked out at any time, which further reinforces Kiara, your thesis about like he consented to it, presumably. Right. You know, like he could have pulled the plug at any time.
Okay. You'd be all right.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the money, we don't. So moving on. All right. That basically brings us to the top of the hour. Let's go ahead and start winding this puppy down. Let's see. So it's now 7 o'clock in the East Coast. That's a wrap for this week's headlines. Kiara, what was your favorite topic tonight?
I'm gonna say the tattoo guy. I hope he's doing well in life, and I hope he finds a career or a school that allows him to teach children.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's hard to look at that thumbnail too. Jeez. Go ahead.
I root for him.
I gotta say, my favorite one, to be honest, is sort of like a toss up between the python thing here, the ball python found chilling on a shelf at Indiana Walmart store, and the Hell Michigan one, just because of how bizarre those topics are. Basically, the first thing we discussed tonight was a thing about a family of wild bears was found. I guess it counts as it's a family. It was a mother and like two or three cubs, I think it was. It was discovered like underneath somebody's house, like hibernating. That was where they chose to hibernate in the course of winter.
That is, I would have moved.
Yeah. But anyway, that was that's our favorite headlines tonight. What was your favorite tonight? Those of you who are watching, go ahead and drop a comment down below. and to continue the conversation. And don't forget to visit any of our social media pages. We are at Weekend Showcase pretty much everywhere, including over at TikTok, where we have our friend and colleague Alonzo Barrantes is putting in serious work over on our TikTok page right now, getting us lots of views and likes with all sorts of interesting content that he's been making there lately. Thanks so much, Alonzo, for helping out with that. And we will see you right here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, for another brand new trailer reaction show. We hope to see you then. For now, be safe, and we hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.
Bye, guys.